Welcome to The Leftovers with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I can't wait for the episode that explains Kevin's tattoos.
And welcome to the show. How you doing, Jack?
Those tattoos have to mean something.
There was just a few things in there. I was like, oh, tattoos.
Tattoos. It was right away.
It was more obvious
than Jack's tattoo. Remember, Jack just had the arm
tattoos. Yeah, the arm tattoos. But he's got like a whole back mural.
Yeah, who's he think he is? Sons of Anarchy? Jack's from Sons of Anarchy.
But yes, The Leftovers has started the new show, written and executive produced by our good friend, Damon Lindelof, our dear, dear friend.
Our buddy.
Close personal friend.
Well, yeah, it's funny because he shaves his head just so he could be like me. That's what he said. He wants to be like me.
And this TV show is based on a book by, I'm trying to remember the name now, but he is also part of...
is he?
The... Whatchamacallit, Tom Perata.
And you had Peter Berg was the director and also in, is it Peter Berg? Is that who I'm thinking?
I believe
Friday
so.
Friday Night Lights, could you notice there was kind of a shaky camera going on certain
there
times?
It wasn't nearly as bad as the...
And we had Buddy Garrity was in the episode. Mm-hmm. That's a character from Friday Night Lights.
Ah, okay. Never watched
He was the congressman.
Ah, okay.
Buddy Garrity.
But yes, based on a 2011 novel by Tom Perata, and he was the co-creator, executive producer of this show with Damon Lindelof. And what did you think?
I liked it.
First impressions.
First impression was okay. I had a didn't explain a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They did screw up my crackpot theory that I had because it was pretty obvious for me from the start who Lori was.
Mm-hmm.
But as I kind of it was not like the I'm obviously going to compare it to Lost because it has Damon Lindelof.
Mm-hmm.
Was it as good as starting, was a good pilot as the Lost pilot? No.
Mm-hmm.
But was it good? Yes. Was I sitting around going, okay, who are these?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people call them the smokers, the people in white that don't talk. I'm calling them Virginia Slims.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to stick with. Every time I refer to them, it's going to be Virginia Slims because.
I think the actual term in the show is GRs. That's what Kevin refers to them as GRs. But yes,
the remnants,
Virginia Slims.
Right? Is that what they called them?
Well, the remnants is anybody that's left behind.
Right.
But
okay.
GR is what GR? He's called, like maybe God's remnants. That's what it's for.
Maybe that's what it is because Kevin just, you know,
Kevin's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, he's a little angry. Well, you can see why. But then we see his flashback. Well, maybe there's a reason why.
Exactly. We'll talk about that during the recap because I do think that does bring up on maybe why Lori is with.
With the Virginia Slims.
The Virginia Slims.
I was trying to think of a way to, because they don't speak.
Mm-mm.
Well, I guess they can speak, but.
Only once.
Only once. I'm done talking to you.
Yeah.
Meg, I'm done. I'm done. We're not talking again.
No.
Wouldn't that be nice sometimes if people just wouldn't talk to you?
I think that's the world you would prefer to live in.
I would have, no, sometimes, you know, obviously some people you want to communicate with, 90% of the people. If they just came in and looked at me and smoked a cigarette, I'd be okay.
Mm-hmm. So am I have to worry about you coming in next week with a white shirt, white pants, and smoking?
Yeah. Well, I won't smoke because the baby's here.
Oh, okay. All right.
I have some respect for the baby.
Maybe an e-cigarette.
Yeah.
An e-cig. But no.
It would be hard for them to do a podcast, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
The Virginia Slims?
It'd be more of a blog.
It'd be more like... You got to work on your sound.
But great. Was it the greatest pilot ever? No. Was it the worst pilot ever? No. It was actually a pilot that I enjoyed. It didn't feel tedious.
No.
Some people say it's a little slow. I would agree. It's slow, but I think there was enough stuff in it to be
engaging.
Well,
they weren't hitting you over the head. Bam, bam. There wasn't a lot of action.
Mm-mm.
It was more, okay, what's going on? Damon did say in an interview, and I've heard some other, don't focus on what happened. How they, you know, how the 2%. What would happen to them, focus on what's left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And you do kind of just, like, once everybody popped away, or whatever you want to say, vanished, I kind of said, okay, I'm cool with that.
Well, yeah, I think it's he's setting proper expectations where I think the island was the device that kind of drove the character story.
Right.
For Lost, the whatever you want to call it, the rapture, the disappearance of these people, of the departed, is just this thing, this service to the story of the characters and what happens after that moment. But I think you're bringing up a good point, and people watching the show, don't think right now, okay, I only like this show in the end if it's going to answer what happened.
Right. Obviously, something has happened to cause whatever happened is 3 years earlier is mm-hmm. causing people to do certain things
mm-hmm.
and has affected people in different ways,
yeah.
which it would.
Yeah.
You can't help it. I mean, we'll talk about the lady that lost her Sam.
Mm-hmm.
How could that not affect you?
Sure, absolutely.
There's just no way it couldn't, because it seems to have affected everyone in this small town, and then mm-hmm. we find out it's worldwide.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's happened, but I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
It was enough for me to, because you know, I was a little stressed out because when you commit to doing a podcast
before even seeing the show,
this was on the blind.
Yeah,
this was kind of like V, because we didn't see flash forward.
We did see the pilot. I think, yeah.
Right, but
it's dangerous throwing it out there.
I'm going in because Damon Lindelof, we're buddies, so I'm gonna back him up 100%, and so. I was a little nervous all day. Like,
oh, yeah.
I hope I like this. Mm-hmm. I hope I don't have to come and go, well, yeah, I liked it. It was great. Because I'm not going to podcast about a show I don't like.
Exactly.
I'm not going to do that.
We have a proven track record of not podcasting.
It doesn't work.
Starting one and saying, all right, this isn't working. We're done.
It doesn't work. So, but I figured, okay, this is 10 episodes probably, mm-hmm. 10, 11. And it was good enough for me to go, okay, all right.
Yeah,
there's enough going on.
Mm-hmm. Good characters.
And enough going on where you're like, enough things. Okay, who are the Virginia Slims? Why are they stalking these people?
Yeah.
Why are they choosing certain people? I mean, because they have a whole...
they have like a little dossier of all this information.
Whole thing
yeah.
filled, and they just stare at them, which I would punch them too.
Yeah.
I would have probably ran them over. Just run them over.
They are frustrating. And then obviously the people within this town know what they are and what they do. We don't.
No.
They're not saying it specifically.
Why are they doing that?
Overall, I thought it was a really solid pilot. Really liked the characters they presented. I thought they did a really, really good job. For The Leftovers with Jay and Jack, this will be a free podcast for everybody out there listening to it at home. This will be our first free show, like true blue free show we've done, I think, since the last podcast.
I think so. Well,
we did a little Ramblecast here and there.
But this is the one where we actually have to do work.
Yes.
Whereas the other one was...
But this will be available on iTunes. And if you enjoy this show, if you enjoy the stuff that... Jack and I produce. We produce more shows for our Plus membership. It's only $2.99 a month, and you can check out the shows we're doing this summer, some of our summer fare. We have Jay and Jack's Ramblecast and The Married Man Show are our shows during the summer, which will be a lot of fun for those who remember The Married Man Show and The Ramblecast. You can check that out, jayandjacktv.com. And then during the TV season, we do some other shows as well. We've done Justified, Mad Men, which
Survivor.
Will be coming back. Survivor.
Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey. That's not with I. That
no,
is with.
Because you're not a Downton Abbey person.
I'm not. I'm not down with Downton.
I saw you
we did start Orange is the New Black. Really enjoying it.
Told you.
Really good.
Second season's better than the first.
Really? And I'm enjoying the first season a lot. But with the flashbacks, though, it is very Lost-esque.
Yeah.
People have said it'd be nice if they put a little whooshing sound when they go. So at least I know that they need a sound.
Yeah.
It's just hard when they
just do it.
Yeah.
And like, wait, sometimes you're like going,
okay, I'm in the
past.
Oh,
that's a younger prisoner.
Yes.
Got it. Oh, and they're innocent.
But Leftovers, very good show. Let's do a breakdown of the cast and their names.
I was going to ask a question, though. Does the actor, what's his name? They call him Mr. Aniston, but I'm not going to do that.
Thoreau?
Frank, what's his name?
Well, on the show, it's Justin Thoreau.
Okay.
Kevin Garvey is his character.
Okay, does he have tattoos like that?
In real life?
Is that him, or are we going to find out later on that this was done for the... Seriously, I mean, I'm asking a serious... I don't know.
Well, let me see if we can get... Let's see. He has it in the promotional picture where he's putting his fist through the wall.
Yeah, I don't see.
Let me do an image Google search of him, see if he had any bare back pictures. He has tattoos on his chest. Let's see. He has that naturally because this is just on his back in a paparazzi picture.
That is his picture.
Jennifer Aniston, yes.
Okay. I do notice that we both work out at the same place. We have the same body type.
So let's break down the characters. So we have, I think, our lead character be Kevin Garvey, who's played by Justin Thoreau.
And he's your typical small town chief.
Yes.
He's the chief.
Yes.
It's like he's like Brody. He's
Brody from
Jaws.
Yep.
So I kept thinking Jaws the whole time. Chief.
Well, and just like any Damon Lindelof lead male actor, seems to have daddy issues or some type of daddy.
Yeah, because his dad.
Things going on, which we haven't met his dad. We saw, I think, a flashback of him. Running around.
Well,
naked.
Scott Glenn is going to play his dad.
Okay.
Spoiler. I'm sorry.
So we'll have to see when he comes into it. It'll be interesting. Then we have his kids. So we have Tom Garvey. And Tom is played by Chris Zilka.
He reminded me of, what's his name from Friday Night Lights? Riggins. From I wonder if they're brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, is the other guy's name Zilka?
No. Oh. I looked it up, and he's not. They're not related, but he kind of had that because it was with Buddy Garrity playing the congressman.
Yeah.
Who's not his actor's name, but he'll always be Buddy Garrity to me. But I go, God, he looks like Riggins.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, go ahead, continue.
Tom's sister, Kevin's daughter, Jill Garvey, played by Margaret Qualley.
Can we just call her Angry?
Who is her mother?
Who's her mother in real life?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Annie McDowell.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, you know what?
Looks a lot
looks
like
just like her, yeah.
Yep. Colleen found that one out.
Now that you say that, it does look... Mm-hmm. She does look... Okay, I see it now.
And then we have, which we find at the end of the episode, Amy Brenneman plays his wife, or...
Lori.
And it seems like they're kind of an integral...
That was my crackpot theory. It was pretty it was pretty obvious from the beginning. I go... Because when I looked at the Virginia Slims, I think I told you, she was the main...
She's the only one of note.
When you really go, okay, boom, she sticks out. She's judging Amy and the practice and all. She's been in a lot of things. That's why your mom decided to watch it, because she likes her.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes, she's not speaking? I go, eventually, I'm sure she'll talk.
We have the dog killer, Michael Gaston. His name is Dean.
I thought his name was Vic.
Nah, Dean.
No, too soon.
Too soon? Come on.
What? Hey, I didn't kill him.
I believe Dennis Lucky, who is Chief... Kevin Garvey's assistant or his deputy or whatever you want to call him. Frank Hartz plays
right.
Dennis. And then we have a pretty big name actor, Liv Tyler.
Yeah.
Playing Meg Abbott. And she seems to be a character that will be integral to the show. It seems like
I would
like
think
it.
So, yeah, because
a big actress.
They were, Brenneman was, Lori was stalking her with the other smoker. And she was like stressed out. And the guy, I can't find his name.
Hold on, I had it earlier. Doug Durst.
No, but
Sebastian Arcelus.
What's his name on the show?
Doug.
Doug?
Yep.
Is it Doug?
That's what it says here on IMDb.
Okay, let me see.
Doug Durst.
Oh, that's right. They're not married yet.
They're not married yet.
That's what I was, because I was looking for Abbott.
Okay. See?
Hey, Abbott.
Abbott.
I was a bad boy.
So that seems to be an interesting storyline, her kind of going into this community or cult.
Doug, you said Doug? He seems kind of like nonchalant about the whole thing. He goes, you know, he's like,
he's
hey,
singing Marvin Gaye.
We got a wedding to plan. She goes, wedding. I don't want to get married. She's like, it's like the exact opposite where the guy's normally going, yeah, whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Did they say they're going to Kauai? Is that what he said? Was it Hawaii? Kauai?
Maybe.
But the Virginia Slim people come outside the
place,
and so he goes outside the restaurant, everything, thumbs up. And she's just looking. But why are they stalking those people? Why?
Well, they're probably choosing them to become a part of their...
I know, I get that.
Cult,
but why,
if you will.
But why? Why do they have certain people that they think they can... Why are they choosing these people?
No idea, and that's, I think, one of the big questions that is going to be throughout this show, or at least this season, and maybe we'll find out.
Will it be answered, though? Will we find out?
Don't know.
Okay.
Don't know. Let's see. Another character that seem to be Matt Jameson, who is the priest or pastor or preacher.
Something.
But he's the guy that's kind of going out saying it wasn't the rapture. And
it's very secretive, though.
Kevin seems to know him.
Yeah.
Not you're thinking of Wayne.
Oh, Wayne. That's right. Wayne.
Matt is the guy that was like giving out pamphlets. You're and Kevin's right. Like, really? Do you have to do this here?
Yeah. It's okay.
Then we have the feisty mayor, Lucy Warburton.
Yeah, I didn't like her.
Played by Amanda Warren.
I didn't like her.
No?
She just was...
Well, I mean, she's typical kind of... I won't say typical government.
It's almost like Jaws,
where it is a little
the guy's
bit.
Like, hey, we can't close down. Yeah. You know, there's a shark out there eating people. It's okay. And then when he goes, it wasn't your fault. Well, no, it was your fault. You jerk.
Tom Garvey seems to be in this another... cult of some sort,
right.
And its head is Wayne, played by Patterson Joseph. Wayne seems to be a pretty interesting character.
Yeah, he's kind of, but Buddy seemed pretty happy when the congressman seemed happy with after he left him. But we'll
It'll be interesting on what that is. And then he seems to have a concubine of women,
right?
Asian women
that are for him.
That
right?
are for him. For I him. Guess
he doesn't like.
He
to
says
share.
They're important, but
they're important. But he maybe doesn't want to. Maybe they're.
Maybe he's gonna like. Sacrifice them. I don't have no
maybe
idea.
They're virgins, and then maybe something like that.
I don't know. But it's Annie
they do
Q.
They do like gummy worms.
Well, Annie Q, who likes gummy worms, plays Christine, who is the lady that Tom seemed to show an interest in, and Wayne does not like that.
Stop talking to her.
And that seems to be the main cast of characters here that we've seen so far.
Did you mention Amy?
Oh yes, Amy. That's Jill's friend, right?
Yeah. Well, are they still friends now?
Well, yeah. Well, they played Spin the iPhone.
There was... Actually, that's what I wrote down, Spin the iPhone. I guess there are rules.
I guess.
If it does end up... She said, well, if you don't want me to...
Yeah,
okay.
That's... Yeah, I mean...
Don't want me to... Now do whatever you want. I'm angry.
And then Max, who is a funny character that also plays Spin the iPhone.
We had the two twins.
We do have the twins. What are their names? I
just said the twins.
So we might see them.
They're from Desperate Housewives.
Oh, really? Yeah. Are they good on that show?
I guess so.
Max and Charlie Carver play Adam and Scott Frost.
I think there's more to them than... Well, I'll say that. Maybe that'll be my crackpot theory. We'll just wait, because I had a great one, but they answered the question.
Clones?
No. They work for Dharma.
Ah, I'm so glad to see you haven't changed.
Rose and Bernard adopted two children.
Oh, my God.
Well, actually, they never had kids. First, they had... Well, the original script, they had
The original kids. Script, they had kids.
Because we had a copy of that.
We had a copy
script.
Of the original script, but that scene was cut or never shot.
Right.
And then
later on, they didn't have kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not saying they changed. I don't want to get into the whole changing the thing as because they would hear someone say something and they had to change it. I don't want to get into that because it's a touchy subject with some people.
Mm-hmm.
My good friend.
All right. Well, let's get into the recap of Leftovers, the pilot episode. So this episode starts out with October 14th across the screen.
Yes.
And we follow a mom doing laundry, and she's on her cell phone arguing with what bill collectors at some point.
Something like that.
And her friend.
And the kids
crying the whole time.
So it was irritating me. I gotta be honest. It was irritating me.
Well, it was when we watched it. We finally got Zach to go to sleep. Yeah. We just fed him. He's been fussy. He's been going through a growth spurt. And then the baby started crying. I was like, "Son of a gun! This baby's gonna wake up my baby, and we're never gonna get any quieter."
Well,
here.
She was frustrated because you know, used to be able to put coins in there, but now it's all, and she can't get the dollar, and she's cussing. Well, how are we going to work this? Are we going to be PG on this podcast?
I, to the best of our ability, we can say something that's happened, but
because
we shouldn't directly quote.
There's
definitely some adult stuff
some
on
adult,
it. It's an HBO show.
It's an HBO show, so...
It's not as gratuitous as Game of Thrones,
it's,
though.
Or, that or it's not Deadwood.
No.
As far as the language goes.
It seems realistic in terms
right.
of...
It's something I probably would have said.
I'm crying the whole time. One of the people in the laundromat kind of looks at her disapprovingly, and she kind of shakes the car seat a little bit. But she gets in the car, talking to her husband.
Can I say something, though?
What?
That's the worst thing is when someone who doesn't have a kid with them, probably don't have kids.
Yeah.
It's those are the people give you the look like, you're doing it wrong, that have never... I'm not going to say Oprah. I'm not going to throw that
but
out.
But you did just say it. Actually, I think you said it without saying it.
Okay, I don't want to say it. Because,
but
you
already
know,
said
Oprah
it.
And I are good friends, too, so I think she can understand because, you know. We have an understanding. But no, you always have those people that have never had kids, and they always give you that look or some advice, and you look at them like, if you've never had kids, shut up.
Yeah, yeah.
You have no business talking. There, I've said it.
Oh, man. So she gets in the car, presumably calling her husband, saying, you know, that needs formula.
Can I say something?
Yes.
You don't leave your window down with the kid in the back seat.
Yes.
Even if you're driving, because something can fly into the...
Exactly.
I didn't like what she was doing there. I said it too. I said you're gonna lose your kid.
It's a good thing you have a kid, or you'd be one of those people that you don't like.
Yeah. Why? Well, I can do that. It's like it's like James Bond. I have license to judge.
Okay.
Because I've had kids.
And it disappears, and there's a kid out there with an empty shopping cart. His dad disappeared.
But did you notice the baby when it was crying? It stopped for a second. It kind of they must have dangled something in front of its face. The baby was an excellent actor. But. It kind of looks like something like something is coming for it.
Mm-hmm.
It stops and looks like maybe the boom mic. I don't know if it was intentional. Yeah, I don't know if it was intentional or not. But I said, because if the baby was crying, I knew something was going to happen to the baby.
Yes.
Because the way they were filming it. But if you watch the scene again, the baby kind of looks away and stops for a second and then goes back to crying.
Uh-huh.
I just thought it was cool. I thought it was, I don't know if it's intentional. I'd like to ask that question. Maybe we can get our good friend on the show. I will ask him, was that intentional?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'd probably say yes.
So kind of pandemonium car crashes into another car, and then it kind of goes to black. 911 calls of missing people. Very reminiscent of those where they show the 911 calls on 9/11.
Right.
That's what kind of rang to me.
But this one would be like worldwide.
Oh yeah, so it's a worldwide
people
thing.
People going crazy.
And then it kind of cuts to black, and then goes says 3 years later.
Right.
And that's where we follow our good friend Kevin Garvey. Who's
a jogger like me.
Jogging. And he's listening. I assume he's listening to the radio. People are talking about, you know, missing people. 1 in 50 has just gone missing and they don't know why.
Right.
And it seems to still be the main topic of discussion even 3 years later, which makes sense.
Well, it's an unexplained. Well, you know, it's funny how would in real life, would that still be they talking about that? Because we had the plane, you know, the plane that disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about that.
Yeah.
And now it's like they just stopped.
But one plane of 120 people. Now you're talking millions of people.
That's true, I guess. All right.
Maybe. So he comes up to a dog, and he tries to get the dog, and then all of a sudden a man shoots a dog. That was a little jarring. I didn't expect that.
I didn't see that coming.
I thought maybe the dog would, like, bite him or something.
I was like, what's the deal with the dog? And then it goes, boom! I go, when he jumped, I jumped. I went, whoa, I didn't see that coming. The guy just gets back. He has a big chaw in his mouth,
mm-hmm.
and he gets back in his Dodge Ram truck.
Goes, mm-hmm. Drives away.
Yeah. And then, of course, Garvey yells, hey, you got to yell, stop, FBI. If you really want someone to stop, yell, stop, FBI.
Because it works every time.
It works every time.
So we go
watch the following.
Lori, who's sleeping in a room with other people, and we have a flashback of a school fight.
Yeah.
Like a little quick glimpse. Was that her or was that somebody else?
Was that her or daughter?
I don't know.
Because her,
it has to be something connected to why she decided to join this group.
Right. And I can't figure out what it was. Because it just, it's so
quick. It was like a quick little glimpse.
I watch it like three times. I go, it's definitely a school where they're wearing uniforms.
Like a Catholic school or something like that.
Something like that. And it's just like, and she just has that look, then she lights up the cigarette.
Yep.
So anyway.
We then go to kids in a class, and they're doing the Pledge of Allegiance, which nobody does, and then they start doing a prayer
for... Well, no one stands up.
No. So I guess when the people leaving, they've lost all whatever for the Pledge of Allegiance.
They don't care.
But they do care for the prayer, except for a few people, including Jill Garvey and her friend Amy and the guy that she's kind of crushing on.
Well, he does the gun to the head.
Yeah, and then she gets this elaborate noose thing.
And he kind of goes, huh, yeah, not working for me.
Yeah, that's how my mom went, man.
He just kind of turned around and went, oh, I didn't think about that
yet. Awkward.
He could have said, too soon, man. It's funny, he did the, and she kind of like playing along.
Yeah.
He's like, no.
Not feeling it. We then see a blue Chevy Impala driving up, and what was on the radio? Patsy Cline.
Oh, that's right.
A favorite of Lost.
There you go. That's right.
So I wonder if that's just, I don't think it's a really a direct nod, but Damon Lindelof probably just likes Patsy Cline.
What was the name of the Dusty something?
I don't know.
That's what I got out of it, but I didn't write it down.
Oh, okay.
Dusty something.
So a gray bearded congressman gets out and gets in the van with Tom Garvey, who is Kevin Garvey's son, and pays him money, and his blindfold and his cell phone is taken away as they head off.
Well, he had said, too, he goes, I guess it was more than one stop. He had to go to different, he had to get in different cars just to get to Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Different. He goes, no, I'm your final one.
Yep.
So this whole thing is weird. It's cloak and dagger type stuff.
Well, Wayne obviously is somehow known if people are trying to hurt him, and they have to go through all these, you know, procedures to protect his identity.
Exactly.
So then we see C-SPAN, and it's a committee, and we found out that 2% of the population has disappeared, and they don't know. And it seems to be the religious angles already was taken, and nothing was explained. So then I would guess the government committee wanted science to explain it, and science just doesn't know, doesn't have an explanation for it, which is an interesting angle that I thought was kind of a nice dynamic in that neither religion nor science could explain it.
Right.
people are trying to use either or to explain it, but neither are explaining, which I thought was kind of an interesting story angle, because science likes to be very, I don't know, black and white. There, it is what it is. This is, we have
maybe
our
not
theories.
And, you had loss, you had the science part, and you had the religious part.
Yeah.
So is it similar?
It's similar, but it's not in that I think it's showing that both sides don't know.
Right.
And they don't have an idea. Whereas Lost, it kind of showed where one side or the other had some type of belief that is the way it should be.
Well, you're always going to have people believe a certain thing.
Yeah,
but it's not a consensus. Mm-hmm. Not the majority doesn't think. Obviously, it's like, well, we don't know.
And we see that Kevin does have extensive back tattoos, which you already mentioned.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we'll get the episode explaining those tattoos.
I need that, and hopefully, they're in Thailand.
Hopefully,
and yeah,
and that grows even with hopefully it was Biling.
Yeah, okay. Hopefully, hopefully that. If that's it, I'm done. I'm done with the podcast.
So then Lori sends some sort of commune, and they have these kind of phrases up on the walls as she's brushing her teeth. There's a phrase there. As they go into the kitchen to eat, there's one: "We don't smoke for enjoyment. We smoke to proclaim our faith," which I thought was interesting. Is it a slow suicide? Is it a it's just but constantly smoking, and I wonder what the...
Well, they're there to irritate people. Just saying.
Yeah.
And if you're a smoker, if my mom's listening right now, I'm probably going to get a nasty email,
mm-hmm.
nasty text.
Nastygram. Then we find there's a heroes list, and Lori's upset that she isn't on the list.
Right.
And she wants to go, and Patty,
yeah,
who found her name later, says, okay, you can go.
It was like, no big deal.
Yeah.
All right.
But they also, they don't talk for some reason.
No, they don't talk.
So they smoke a lot. They don't talk. They all wear white. And they're in some kind of commune of some sort.
Yeah. Sleeping in a bunch of... There's someone snoring, too.
Yeah. Kevin Garvey is gearing up as the Mapleton Police Department. He's the chief. And
Chief Brody.
And we find out that his dad went crazy.
Right.
And he has the collar of the dog that got shot, so he's taking it to the owner's house. And as he's walking up, there is a buck, a deer,
yeah,
standing out there.
Someone on our Facebook page said, Kate's horse, the morphing of Kate's horse or something like that. I didn't even think about the horse, but I should probably find it. Maybe I'll find it, but when we go to the comment
mm-hmm.
section.
Or even for Jack Shepherd, Christian Shepherd just showing
up. Right, exactly.
So there's a deer there. He kind of stares at it. It looked like a stuffed deer. It didn't look like it was moving.
No.
I was like, that's weird. There's a stuffed deer on the lawn. It's kind of creepy, but I guess this is what you do when 2% of the population disappears. So he goes, and the wife didn't care about the dog. It was her husband's dog, and he went away.
What show is she in?
I don't know.
She's in Orange and the Black.
Oh, who is she?
She's one of the guards.
Oh. I don't think I've seen her
yet. Yeah, you've seen her. She's in season one.
Huh.
She has red hair. She's dating the other guard, maybe.
What, I don't think you've gone that far yet.
All right, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
It's not a big deal. I think that's who it is, because I couldn't figure out who she was.
So that dog ran away 3 years ago.
Yeah. 3 years ago and never came back, so neither did the husband.
Yeah.
Sorry for your loss. Is that a loss?
Yeah.
Slam the door.
Mm-hmm. So the dead dog is still in the trunk, which is a little weird. And we find the meeting has been moved up from noon, which he's a little bit frustrated, and he still hasn't found the truck.
No.
They shot the dog. So we go to the congressman and Tom in the van, and he said he stopped going to school, college, and he flashes back to a couple joint suiciding or jumping off of a building.
Right.
So that's his impetus for stopping school. And then we go to the meeting for Heroes Day, and we meet Lucy and the mayor, and they're setting up for this big day to kind of try and move on, move forward.
Cheer people up.
Which,
nothing cheers people up than remembering who's not there.
Yeah. And a really, really creepy statue. Nothing does better than that.
That was a creepy statue.
Creepy statue. So he talks about this GR, this remnants group of people, and he thinks they're going to cause a stir.
That's when I started figuring.
He's frustrated.
That's when I started figuring out it was probably Lori as his wife, because mm-hmm. he was so angry about him.
Mm-hmm.
He just was. Anyway. That was my first thought.
We then go to Jill playing field hockey, and a girl like knocks her with the hockey stick. I don't know what you call it.
The hockey stick. Field hockey stick.
Field hockey stick.
I think that's what they call it.
So then Jill elbows her in the face.
That was a nice one.
That was a nice hit.
That was a nice
That was fair. I think that was fair.
You know what? You're going to You're going to slash them because hitting in the shins hurts.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather get hit in the nose than the shin.
Mm-hmm. So the congressman and Tom arrive at the compound, and he's there to meet Wayne.
And the guy that meets him is Peter Berg, the director.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
He's an actor. He was in Chicago Hope, I believe. He's been a lot of things.
Oh, cool.
I hope I'm getting the name right. I think it's Peter Berg.
We then have Tom. He goes out to the pool, and there's this gaggle of girls.
gaggle of girls.
And the one is there that he seems particularly fond of, named Christine, and he gives her some gummy worms and talks to her about, I guess, the Bachelorette TV show, and kind of updates her on that. So I guess they don't watch TV there at the compound.
Not allowed to.
And he gets a call from Kevin, his dad. So that's where we kind of get it confirmed that it is his dad. Or Tom is his, yeah. Tom is his son.
I got it.
So then we have Kevin see the phone go to voicemail. He says, hey, it's your dad. I'd love to hear your voice.
I thought he said daddy.
Did he say daddy?
Maybe. Who's your daddy?
And Kevin's watching people going into church. And he goes home and he elbows a picture frame.
Yeah.
So elbowing things runs in the family, apparently, with the Garveys.
And it perfectly, you can tell it's a family photo, but you can't see who the mother is.
Yeah, it was a nice...
I said, nice job there.
Nice play.
There you go, Kevin.
So Jill gets a warning. She also drops a C word.
She did, and we'll probably won't repeat those words.
No. But
We did that once in The Married Man and got a lot of hate mail, even though it wasn't us that said it.
That's one of the few words that you don't say.
Yeah.
And she gets invited to play ping pong, and Amy says...
Yeah, the twins came up.
But the twins seem to be fairly innocent, and I think they genuinely wanted to play ping pong.
Hey, do you
want
to get stoned and play ping pong? It's like tennis, you know, with a white ball. They were already getting stoned outside the school, and nobody seems to care.
Yeah, no.
Chimes have changed.
So we see the congressman is no longer burdened or burned. Was it burdened or burned? The way he said it, I couldn't really tell. Burned or burdened?
He's from Texas, where Friday Night Lights was from. no longer burdened.
Burdened. Okay. Which is weird. I wonder what Wayne could have done to do that. But
I'm not asking. Don't ask, don't tell policy.
So Tom's getting ready to take the congressman back, but the lady there says, nope.
No.
Wayne wants to talk to you.
Yeah, I think who's going to take him? Greg or?
Oh, some guy.
Some guy that we
I don't know if he's
about.
Important. He might be, but right now he's not very important.
could be the key to the show we're not talking about. I wrote it down, but I can't find it.
He'll be like the way Ethan was. He was this throwaway character in one episode, and all of a sudden he became another. So then we go to the Garvey family dinner with Kevin, Jill, and Amy. And
it's meatloaf.
It looked pretty good.
You know, your sister made turkey meatloaf the other day.
Was it good?
It's funny because one of those things you kind of look at and you kind of go, it looked like dog food or worse than dog
food. Almost meatloaf kind of does look like dog food.
But meatloaf, you're used to meatloaf looking a certain way.
Yeah.
This had a kind of a, it had turkey look to it. I'm like, and I'm kind of hesitant about it. And it was actually pretty good.
Oh, well, there you go.
Healthier for you. So there you go. But Kevin did make turkey meatloaf.
No, look legit.
that's Kevin. that's Kevin.
So he gets asked if he can go. Jill can go to the Dorfham party, and he lets her go.
No drinking.
No drinking though.
You can
and
do
he
drugs.
Doesn't want. And he doesn't want to go to the Heroes Parade.
You can do drugs, but you can't. You can't do drinking.
Yeah, I wonder what. Because he's an alcoholic, maybe or something.
He seems to be an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Drinks a lot of beer.
So then we go.
Well, they
to...
need his. They want his car too.
Yes.
That kind of seemed odd that he'd give them their car.
Or if they only have one car.
I guess so.
Gloria Ponders to join the cult. We then go to Liv Tyler's character the first time, Meg, and we see her going out with Doug. And Gloria is there with another woman, and they're kind of standing there staring really creepily.
It made me mad.
Yeah. I was like, what are you doing? Go away.
They just stare.
And they kick, and they drive away. Then we go to a...
Okay, we'll get to that part.
The Dorfham orgy/drug party. Kids these days.
Yeah.
Wile E. Coyote is featured prominently.
Which is a great cartoon.
Yes.
Fantastic and cartoon.
They're playing a pretty...
Still will never understand why he just didn't... He always buy the food from Acme, mm-hmm. whatever it was. He had all that cash, buy himself some food.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he had to kill
the roadrunner. Well, maybe he got like one of those... He won a like a $1 billion gift certificate to Acme, but Acme doesn't make food.
Good food, so he had to find.
Okay, so he had to use that gift certificate to buy all his crap because he can't spend it anywhere else.
But you know what you could do? You could buy an anvil that was say $500 and
sell it
to someone for $100 and go get some food.
Good point. Good point.
Coyote wasn't very smart.
He wasn't. Well, he's smart but not smart.
Watched it every week too, going, is he ever going to catch this guy? But I always rooted for the Roadrunner. Mm-hmm. I never, even though Coyote was probably starving. Feel bad now.
As an adult, you feel bad.
You think there'd be some cats around there that the coyote could too soon?
yes, we have iPhone Spin the Bottle, a very sadistic version
now,
of Spin the Bottle.
They probably have that, don't they?
I don't know, that intense though, like burn and.
I didn't get the burn thing. Why do we have to have burn? Because people are in pain. I get that. Uh-huh. There was.
So there went very. Very soft, like hug. I was like, oh, hug. That's
hug,
nice.
That's not bad. Okay, I can hug.
The next one is F.
Yeah. Well, okay. Do you mind? I won't do it if you want. Okay. Because that was her guy, right?
Yes, that was her guy.
That was Nick.
Right. Nick's your buddy. Nick's your pal. And then there's also burn, and some guy burns himself. It's not very nice. So we have Meg and Doug at dinner talking about their wedding plans, and Meg doesn't seem too interested in it.
No, she's just. But she's out of it the whole time.
She is.
Even when they were walking to dinner, she just didn't seem.
Well, you can see how her transition into joining or wanting to spend time with these people, at least.
But why?
We don't know. We don't know the appeal yet, obviously.
All right.
Unless you love smoking.
Well, who doesn't?
And not talking. Yeah. Those are your two things. Well, we have a group for you.
Well, the Virginia Slims are helping with the taxes because there's. Cigarettes are heavily taxed. So.
Good point. Well, here's the thing. They're not working, so how can they afford all these cigarettes?
They have everything.
That's what I'm saying. So where is this money coming from?
Yeah.
Ha-ha!
Are we on the same page?
Oh, maybe.
Are we on the same page?
I'll let it be your crackpot theory of the week.
There you go.
You got to have something.
Got to have something. I'll give you credit for it.
Okay.
Because it just clicked that's where the money's coming from.
Getting stared down again by the white shirts, as I started calling them, Virginia Slims works well.
Well, how did the Virginia Slims know that they're going to be at the restaurant? I know it's not a big town, obviously, but.
Good point.
It reminded me of Ghostbusters.
Oh, what? With. With
Gozer. With,
yeah, yeah, and the restaurant.
With Miranda, yeah. But
please, somebody let me in.
But how did they know he's.
Good point.
And here's an idea.
And they traveled pretty quickly, too, because they were there.
Did they float? Then, did why didn't Doug just go, okay, they don't bug me, let's switch seats.
That's a good point.
Switch seats.
Good point. He asked them to leave, and then that's that. We then go to Jill and Max, who get the choke option on iPhone Spin the Bottle.
Why is that going, choke? See, that's how old I am. I don't get the whole choke thing.
So that's what they do. And
I thought it was going to be choke something else. It used to be a term. People mm-hmm. used.
Well, I guess he did that too. But anywho, we then go to Meg.
Just kind of brushing over. She did. She teared up.
She did tear a little bit.
She did tear as she was choking him.
Yeah.
So is she?
I think she was hoping to choke Nick.
I think so. Is that why she was crying?
That's what the kids are all doing nowadays, I guess.
Was
Maybe.
She upset about that, or was she upset about the...
With the other guy?
Just her mom.
Maybe.
Because this is the first time we actually see her just emotional about mm-hmm. it, where she's just angry.
She's leaving the party, and the twins need help finding their keys because they picked up a baby shoe.
There's something to these guys.
Yeah, they're a little.
There's something to these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but there's. I'm too excited about the baby shoe.
So he's like, well, it might be flares in my dad's car. So they go in, the dog is in the trunk, and they decide to bury it.
Yeah, Dudley.
Dudley.
Dudley the dog.
We then go to Wayne and Tom, and Wayne very creepily goes into the room and says, I need to talk about Christine. She's very important. And Wayne's been having these dreams with his son. I guess his son probably, left, departed. And he says the grace period is over. Now's the time, 3 years later. Yeah. So I wonder what they're setting up to do.
I don't know.
We then go to Kevin, and his kitchen is ransacked. Look like an animal just tore up the entire kitchen.
Yeah, it's a mess. But you never know if he's dreaming or not, because he had a dream.
Yeah, he had a dream like he hit a deer.
Yeah, it was something weird, because I didn't know it was a dream at first. I go, where's your gun?
Yeah.
Where's your gun? Then he woke up. I go, oh, all right.
So then
He can't find Jill either.
Yep, he can't, and he needs to go to the thing. He seems he's not very punctual.
No,
that's what it seems like.
His little time management.
Yeah, time management issues. So GR is getting ready to come to this party, and the parade starts, and you know, it seems like a pretty standard small town parade. Then we go to Matt, who's evangelizing that it wasn't the Rapture because this woman beat her kids and they took her away, so it obviously isn't the Rapture. And he sees Jill there in this kind of parade thing, heroes party, and asks, you know, where the heck are you? Where'd you go? And she asks him about the dog, and he just kind of doesn't say anything. I'm like, well, now you're just kind of making yourself seem
weird. What's the deal with dogs?
Well, the twins said it in that there's just this rumor that the dogs of people that departed went and became feral, and that's where we're going. We're just taking longer to get there.
Yeah. But Kevin seems freaked out about the dogs.
Yes.
It was like he could – why didn't you just say, well – someone had killed the dog. He just didn't explain it.
Mm-mm.
It was that was a lost scene right there.
Yes,
it's almost like the medical hatch or the.
So then we go to the statue unveiling, a really creepy statue. Like, how does that help people find peace? It's a mom with her baby being taken away into the sky.
Yeah, okay. And the mayor's like,
and the baby looks really creepy too.
That's real nice.
It's a creepy looking baby.
You know, I thought it was funny. Is the baby that disappeared? His name was Sam.
Yes.
Your second choice for the...
It wasn't my second choice.
Well, it was Colin's choice for this. It was my choice, because I had...
The Virginia Slims show up.
Man, they got to stop.
And they put up a sign saying, stop wasting your breath.
Right.
And the crowd was ticked.
No,
they go and attack them.
This is our happy day. We have our statue.
Yes.
This is Heroes Day. Maybe they're upset because it was called Heroes. Too soon?
It's coming back, so it's not too soon, I guess.
Will you watch it?
No.
All right.
God, no. Maybe I will. When does it come on? It's a miniseries?
I don't know.
So Kevin picks up Lori, which is kind of a weird scene. He picks her up and then kind of just tosses her off and then kind of goes the other thing, which seemed... It was a weird scene to focus on. I don't know if you remember that.
Didn't focus... I mean, it was like they...
Didn't even connect in that moment. Yeah.
And I was like, no, I still think they're...
No, I agree. I kept saying, Riles, focus on
even
it.
Then I said, they're husband and wife. I'm convinced now.
So then we go to Kevin at a bar, and we see the people that have departed. Some funny Gary Busey is one of the departed. Jennifer Lopez, Shaquille O'Neal.
You had
Pope Benedict.
Condoleezza Rice,
yes. Anthony Bourdain.
Wasn't the queen in the beginning?
Possibly.
It looked like the queen.
But I like the body's like, well, I get the Pope, but Gary Busey?
Come on.
But he meets a girl from the beginning at the laundromat.
Right.
And they seem to flirt a little bit. And then he has a flashback on where he was, and he was having relations with some girl. It didn't look like Lori.
It was hard to tell.
Yes.
I'm not 100% sure it wasn't her, but it didn't look like, because his look was like, I forget what he said. He was doing something.
Yeah.
Changing the, cleaning
no,
the
he's
gutters.
Cleaning out the gutters.
Gutters, yeah. Well, maybe. That could be, you know, like the whole spin the bottle thing with the choke thing. I'm new. I'm old. So
But
she didn't even say, she said something else too, didn't she?
Mm-hmm. She did. So, she's a guy that killed the dog and he tries to stop me saying, there are dogs. But then there are Virginia Slim's there watching him all creepily.
And he's picking up his gun going.
So then he goes to the Virginia Slim compound, and he demands to speak to Lori.
I know you can't speak.
Yes. We find out that we reveal that it's his wife, and she doesn't want to talk to him, and he beats up the guy to get to her, and then he beats him up and throws him out, and he drives away frustrated.
Well, he keeps saying, you got to come home. You got to come home, Lori. That's my wife. And she says, like,
so then attacks.
Because we forgot to mention they've only been around for a year.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like right afterwards.
Mm-mm.
It's like a year ago that these people came back. They've
started. Yeah. Yeah. So a taxi cab pulls up and we see it is Meg.
Right.
And Patty takes her in and speaks, which is kind of just jarring that she was speaking.
Whoa.
And she says, this is the last time you'll speak to me.
Yeah, she wants to be there for, she said, I need to stay here
for a couple days. So Jill gets home, and she kind of takes the picture. Tom takes a jump into the pool. Now he takes off his shirt. It still looks like he has lashes or like some type of cuts on his back.
Something on his back.
Are those fresh or is that a previous thing? Because he had a knife too. I didn't know if that would just happen.
It looked like it was previous because it wasn't, well, it's hard to tell wait,
it wasn't like red though, or
no,
anything.
It wasn't bright red, and it wasn't there wasn't blood dripping.
But
down.
Still, they showed those, so they have to be. Those.
So something's happened to it. Maybe that's part of the deal is to work with them. You have to get
maybe, or
something. Maybe he's done
or maybe
something
they're
wrong,
scarred, or I don't know. Yeah, who knows? So Kevin calls him again. Doesn't answer. And Kevin stops at a buck and is just standing there again, looking right at him.
It's funny.
And he asked if he was the same buck or a buck that tore up his kitchen.
Yeah. Did you mess up my kitchen?
Staring at him. And then
and the buck doesn't answer him.
The buck stops here. But the pack of dogs, attack the buck and rip it to pieces.
This is where I thought it might have been a dream because Kevin doesn't move.
No.
I see a pack of dogs coming. I'm running for the.
Well, I think he thought it was a dream.
Is that what it was? Yeah, because he does ask.
He does ask this. I think because it was very surreal. But then Dean shows up, the dog killer, and he says, "You said they are our dogs." But he said, "They're not our dogs anymore." He takes out a gun. He says, "You have a gun, right?" And the Dean starts shooting
him. Chief.
He does. He does call him chief, and he shoots at them.
Well, because Kevin asks, he goes, "Am I awake?"
Yeah,
and he kind of looks at him like, "What?"
So he starts shooting him. And then Kevin starts shooting, very emotional, and that's the close of the episode.
Well, those dogs went through that deer.
Pretty quick.
I thought the deer could run a little faster than the dog, though.
Was the deer even real?
Don't know.
So there you go.
Was the deer ripping up a person?
What?
Maybe he just thought he saw a deer.
And it wasn't an deer, actual person?
It was an actual person.
Could be.
Huh. Because the deer, I have deers all over my house. They're fast.
Yes.
And this buck, I would think, would be faster than that. So maybe it was a human. He just saw a deer.
Could be.
Crackpot theory? I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see. So that is the pilot episode of The Leftovers. I thought it was very good. Any other comments you want to add to that episode?
No, I liked it. We didn't talk about how Meg punched Lori in the mouth.
Yes, she did.
She came up just, what do you guys do? It just seems weird that why is she going to them?
Yes.
Couldn't stand.
You move your mic directly to your mouth.
I'm sorry, but why is she going to them when she's just so? That I think has me more.
Well, that's probably a bit of the resisting the urge, and then just she's probably feeling this sense that she wanted to join them, and that was just her internal conflict to go there.
It's just weird.
I don't disagree. It is weird.
It's one of the things that I already is bugging me.
Mm-hmm.
I think more than anything, what are these Virginia Slims up to?
Yeah.
What's going on with them?
Yeah.
What are they trying to do? Are they trying to get everybody involved so they can all be like one, like a cult that killed, you know, like what's that one in San Diego where they wore the purple and the moon people, the comet people.
I know you're talking about that.
There's like 34 of them. They all end up, unfortunately, kill themselves because of the, is that what they're trying to get all together and we can all die at together?
Yeah, die and join the others. The departed.
Departed. Maybe that's what they're going on.
Maybe.
It just seems weird that, you know, just, I don't know. And the not talking thing and the smoking. Like you said, maybe there's slow suicide. Maybe that's what they're.
Maybe they're trying to get everybody to just move on with everybody else.
Philip Morris is sponsoring them.
Could be.
Who knows?
Could be. But yes, a very good episode. Really like what they've shown. I'm intrigued. I want to see more. I do look forward. I do look forward to talking about it and podcasting about it because I think there's a lot to talk about.
It is a fun show. Already, it's a fun show to podcast about because there's so much to talk about.
Yes.
Now, if you joined our thread, Facebook thread, it's more about pizza.
Yeah.
I think what happened was it got thrown off like the second comment. Someone said something about leftovers. And because you think leftovers, your first thought is what's in your refrigerator, leftovers you haven't eaten, and that's what kind of threw it off topic. But I think in the future, people will start trying to figure out theories and. Because it is a show that you go, it is interesting enough that you're going, okay, what's this? What's that?
Yeah.
And I never really thought about it until we started talking about it. It probably wasn't a deer. It was probably a human that he saw.
Or it was just a figment of his imagination.
But there definitely the dogs were there.
Yeah.
Unless dog killer's not there. Dean.
Yep.
Unless he doesn't it. But someone did kill that dog.
Yep. Because everybody else saw the dead dog.
Unless he killed the dog.
True.
And he's just blaming Dean for him killing the dog.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I have no idea.
A lot of levels, a lot of layers. Let's go into, we do have one piece of listener feedback for those at home. We depend on listener feedback. We really enjoy it. We really enjoy the conversation. So give us a call at 206-309-0311.
Call anytime.
And give us an email to jandjack@gmail.com. It's against jandjack@gmail.com. And just like our last show, we love having discussions with you guys just as much as Jack and I enjoy discussing the show. So
actually,
send
I'd
us your feedback there.
With them than you.
Fair enough. Let me get the call, the one call that we do have so far. Here we go.
Hey, new dad and grandpa. This is Scott checking in. I'm just finishing off a cold slice of New York pizza. So I watched The Leftovers tonight, and I liked it, but I can't say I loved it. Now, what I liked was, I liked the fact that the mass vanishing happened like 3 years earlier. People are pretty much already resigned, never knowing what actually happened. You know, we see from the congressional hearings that the world scientists, you know, they don't know. And, you know, as has been the case for thousands of years, whenever there's some seemingly inexplicable event on this planet, many will turn to religion. You know, they insist it's the work of God, some sort of rapture. Although it is said repeatedly that many of these people who departed were not the best of people. So these weren't people that were anything special or more devout than anyone else, you know, unlike those that were chosen to, say, crash land on a certain island. The 2% of the world's population that disappear truly do seem to be random in this case. I also like the fact that there's a subtle parallel between this town and what many small neighborhoods and townships in the Northeast went through after 9/11. Because after the initial months of fear and confusion way back when, those areas that were hardest hit by the community losses, well, they celebrate their anniversaries in these somber tributes, you know, pretty much year after year for those people that were lost. You know, and one can even say that those white-wearing smokers, they're a little reminiscent of those unwanted protesters like the Westboro Church yahoos that show up at such events, you know, just to start trouble. Now, what I didn't love, well, there were issues that I kind of anticipated before it even started, and those issues pretty much remained by the time the episode was over. You know, a pilot for a series like this, it's going to be rough going because there isn't a why now event propelling the story, because the event actually happened 3 years ago. So, as a result, it becomes less about plot, more about character. Now, the danger of that is that you better trot out a slew of interesting and engaging characters too sweet. Otherwise, this is going to feel pretty, pretty, pretty darn long. And sadly, once you got beyond Justin Theroux's character, I found the rest were either irritating, like the smoking cult, who look like they're trying out for some Clorox commercial or something. Because, you know, with all that smoking, how can they possibly keep their whites so white? Or Thoreau's children, who I found kind of annoying as well. Everyone else on the series so far is really just too sketchily drawn at this point without any really good, tight introductory scenes to make them memorable. Now, having a lot of characters on your show, that's no excuse, because we got far more about characters in the pilots for HBO series with huge casts, such as The Wire or Game of Thrones, than we did here. Now, while I don't expect there to be much humor, considering the events that helped shape the people in the town, I do think there could be a little levity beyond the amusement we may have had noting who some of the celebrities were that apparently were part of that 2%. You know, it's a pretty downbeat tone. You know, it's shot with the feel of Friday Night Lights, you know, because of Peter Berg and some cast members. And the tone feels like the most depressing Six Feet Under episode ever. You know, between this and True Detective, you know, by the time Boardwalk Empire airs on HBO this fall, that show is going to seem like a fuzzy feel-good show by comparison to these previous HBO series. But all in all, I'm going to keep watching it. But right now, I don't know if this is a show that I'm going to be rushing to talk about with people the next day. But, you know, that could change after a few episodes because, you know, it certainly has happened before. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say about it as well.
All right, thank you for the call.
Yeah, I kind of agree with him on Scott when he's saying about the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the whole, I like Kevin, Jill, and Tom. their characters. I'm kind of interested in the
whole their
family,
story.
What's going on with family, Lori, why she's there. But for me, it's more like what's it is more the story right now than the characters.
Which is any show. Like, it takes a little while before you really get invested in the characters. But I think that was a good introduction to the characters.
It was, but he mentioned Game of Thrones.
Sure, yeah.
The Wire. I would have mentioned Deadwood also, because Deadwood, I was...
Yeah,
I was
hooked to the
characters.
Hooked
on that show right away. Justified, you know, the lead character. But, yeah, but there's for me, I'm always questioning things. So I was into what is this, what's this, what's this?
Yeah, it had good mystery to it.
It had enough for me to go, okay, I'm going to keep watching.
Mm-hmm.
And it is something, like I said, it's fun to podcast about a show that you don't know what's going on. Like I said, with the whole mother thing, for me, it was obvious.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it right away because just what was going on. But everything else, I have no clue what's going on. I have no clue what's going on. It's kind of lost, but no pun intended. But I will keep watching.
Absolutely.
I don't have a choice. I said I'd podcast about it.
Well, let's get to our crackpot theory.
It was Jonathan that said Kate's horse has morphed into a deer.
There you go.
I want to give Jonathan credit.
It's time
through all the pizza stuff I had to find.
That's a lot of pizza stuff. I was like, what the heck is this? But it's time for that crackpot theory of the week, your first one on The Leftovers.
Yeah, I had a really good one, but they ruined it by answering it.
Well, then it wasn't that good.
Well, because... I'm looking through the whole pizza thread. No one said anything. There was a whole eat cold, because I won't eat cold pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a cold pizza person.
Which is weird, but whatever.
I don't like cold pizza.
Oh, hey, listen. Whatever you got to do to get
it's
by.
It's like I told someone, I said, well, then, you know, when you order your pizza, don't tell them not to hurry.
Yeah.
What do you care? Anyway, we have the smokers, Virginia Slims, whatever you want to call them. You mentioned, why don't they have any money?
Yeah.
Well, Don, I mean, when you said it, what's his name? Wayne.
Yep.
He's got to be funneling the money to these people.
Yeah.
They just started a year ago. I think I'll give you credit for it if it happens, because I had some other ones but weren't as good.
Well,
because
Wayne's obviously getting money by having these people come and
they
have stacks of $100 bills.
Maybe these people are he's having these people do this because it's freaking them out and they need to have some kind of closure.
Yeah,
because what's his name? The congressman seemed awful happy when he left.
Mm-hmm.
And he was uptight.
Yeah.
You know, the whole traveling here and there, he was upset by it. But that has to be where they're getting their money.
Yeah.
Someone has to be giving them money.
Somebody's giving them money. Because
they have vans, they have cool white clothes to wear and tennis shoes. They have nice...
To Scott's point, if they're smoking so much, how are they so white?
Exactly. Because anyway, we don't get to that. But they have a nice, healthy breakfast in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Sure look good to me. Little cigarette ash. It reminds me of the first time we went to second time we went to a Waffle House.
That was my first time going to a Waffle House.
The lady was actually smoking as she was preparing our food.
Mm-hmm. And got in a fight with somebody.
And she got in a fight with someone. I was like going, this is the Waffle House. Remember when we said, you kids are going to enjoy this? The Waffle House went there. And I was like, she's smoking right over her and she's cooking our food.
That wasn't the best first North Carolina experience.
Nice. I don't think I've been, I've been back, took my mom to a Waffle House.
I haven't been back since. That was 12 years ago, whatever it was.
Well, it happens. Anyway, once you said it clicked. That's my crackpot theory, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, that is it for the first ever The Leftovers with Jay and Jack. Personally, I enjoyed talking about the show. It's a fun show to talk about for a podcast. Not too dry, not too straightforward. A lot of things that I think we can have fun talking about.
And, you know, if people who always complain about not being able to get your call in for The Lost Podcast or email read, right now is probably the time to do it.
Wide open. The phone lines are wide open. So give us a call at 206-309-0311.
Call anytime.
Again, it's
206-309-0311.
Call anytime with questions, comments, and or theories. Also, send us an email to jayandjack@gmail.com. Again, it's jayandjack@gmail.com. Also, join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/jayandjackgroup. We'll have each episode for most TV shows that most of us watch. There is a thread that we can all talk about and discuss the TV show, and there will be ones for The Leftovers. Most definitely.
You're bringing that back from the original Lost one, right?
Anyways, Ding. That is it for this week's Leftovers. We'll see you guys next week. This one's going up on the free Lost feed, but Leftovers will have its own free feed available on iTunes and everywhere you subscribe to
podcasts. Also, if you're listening, check out Jay and Jack TV. JaneJack.com.
Yes.
Right?
Jane Jack Plus. If you listen to Jane Jack's Ramblecast and the Married Man Show, those are our summer shows, but we do a lot of other shows as well, like Mad Men with Jane Jack, Justify with Jane Jack, Survivor with Jane Jack, Downton Abbey with, is it Jack and Cindy? Or Jack Cindy and Jack?
I don't know. I think she comes first. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know.
It's
tradition that I always come.
And then Jane Jack TV. And that is it.
That was just not, that was
bad timing. Yeah. JaneJack TV.com. Check it out. It's only $2.99 a month.
My name is listed second most of the time.
There you go.
There you go.
I
tried to stop.
Yeah, you tried. You stopped the wrong place. All right, we'll see you guys next week. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.